All right, are we ready to start the meeting?
No, just a second. Roy had to step out for 1 second, give him 2 minutes.
All right.
All right, Danielle.
All right, we can start the meeting.
Okay, Danielle, are there any guests online?
I have Martha online, and then I have now another participant with the phone number ending in 3531, if they can state their name for the record, please.
Commissioner Boyce, thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Boyce. And other than that, no other participants.
Okay. So with that being said, we'll bring this meeting to order Tuesday, September 15th, 2020 at 6 p.m. Could we all please and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag in the United States of America?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You doing roll call for us, Travis?
Danielle's still on here, she'll be able to do it.
Nope, I can still do it.
Okay,
Sharon.
Here.
Joe.
Here.
Ken.
Here.
Richard.
Here.
Roy.
Here. Do we have any modifications, additions, and or changes to the agenda as written at this time?
Yes.
Richard?
We have an addition, action item F, which is Article 4.
Good job.
And information item C, which is the Bell and Whistle Coffee Shop League.
Okay, thank you for that, Richard. Did all the commissioners get that? The additions to the agenda?
Yep.
Ken?
No.
You good? Sharon?
Yes, good.
Ken, did you get it? Did you get it in your packet? Okay.
Okay, so at this point in time, we're going to give the board a chance to declare any potential conflicts of interest to this agenda as written. Joe?
No.
Ken?
I have a conflict when we get to the art at the port.
Okay. Thank you for that, Ken. I have no conflict of interest. Do you, Richard?
No.
Sharon?
No.
Okay. Can we get an approval of the agenda as amended, action item F and information item C?
I'll make a motion to approve the amended agenda.
Can I get a second, please?
I second
it. Danielle, roll call, please.
Sharon? Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Line 3, approval of meeting minutes. Can I get a motion to approve minutes of special meeting Wednesday, August 12th, 2020? And approval of the minute meetings. B, approval of minutes of regular commissioner meeting Tuesday, August 18th, 2020.
I'll move to approve meeting minutes, items A and B.
Can I get a second on Richard's motion, please?
Right. Seconded.
Okay. Danielle, a roll call, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Okay, we have two public comments before the board this afternoon. We'll call on Mike Murphy, the first one. His topic is safety.
I was wondering if it's more appropriate if I talk after manager states his safety.
Let's save it for them, Mike.
Okay.
Absolutely, let's save that, Mike. We'll do that. We'll do that for you, Mike. Because he might answer questions that you have, or you may have other questions to ask, so that's good, Mike. Our second public comment is Mr. Tom Bean, Nature's Coastal Holiday. Tom?
This year, well, I'm speaking on behalf of the Nature's Coastal Holidays. We're the group that puts the lights up in the park for Christmas. And due to the coronavirus, whatever you want to call it, we aren't going to be able to do that in the park this year. Due to the social distancing and all the mandates that our governor has made. So our plan is to set this place up around town. And we would like to set three up down here at the harbor, at the port. One of them in front of the office. One is string net lights on the boardwalk railing over there. And another one would be over at the entrance to the RV park in that grassy area there. The only catch is the port has to pay the electric bill. But they're all LED lights.
Estimate how much it would cost.
Do what?
I don't know how much electricity they use.
On LED, I don't think we're worried about that. Richard, how do we want to handle this, Richard, for making a motion?
Well, it's not an action item, so we'll put it on a future agenda.
Correct.
And then just come back and hold on.
We have some special meetings coming up, Tom, that we could add this on the agenda.
Okay.
I'm sure.
All right.
We have one coming up real quick next week. I'm sure we could add that to the agenda, Gary. Would that be okay with you?
Yeah, I'd like to have like a specific areas and what they're planning on.
Could you bring a little diagram, Tom?
Do what?
Could you bring just like a little diagram for Gary?
Our PR person is actually Leslie Wilkinson. And she couldn't be here tonight, but I will get, and actually, let me back up. She was supposed to email Gary, but she got the word that she was supposed to email somebody named Greg.
I will have her get in touch with to Gary Dillinger and or Travis Webster or both.
Okay. All right.
Correct. But I mean, we understand these exact things, but for our records, for our minutes, we'll need a little diagram from you, Tom.
Okay. I will have her work one up.
All right. Hey, thanks for the offer.
All right. Thank you.
Sorry, the park's going to be without that beautiful setting.
Well, we are too. We were number third last year in the state, and we're going for number one this year.
Yeah. Can't go to church. Kids can't go to school, and they can't have Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry to hear that, Tom. Thanks for being here tonight. I knew it had to be something, Tom. I haven't seen you since our last little crisis for quite a while. I mean, I've seen you in and out, but thanks for bringing this. Yeah, you went back to work, didn't you? All right. So Mike's on standby till the manager's report, item B, for his public comment. So thank you, Tom. Thank you, Mike. We'll move on to line item five. Management reports, we will save up for a motion to approve all four at the same time. Financial report, August 20th. Gary?
Does the board have any questions on the financial report?
Joe? Ken? Richard?
I have a comment. Okay.
Yes, we are.
The way I'm reading this, our net income for the month of August was $64,000. So, that's good. Given that it's 2020, that's really good.
Correct, absolutely. I would add to that too, Richard. Pandemic is something very new to this whole world, and our staff here at this port has absolutely pulled our finances. We paid our bills, we paid our payments to state. We did have to lay off a few people. Some of those are back, I'm seeing. I think it's been very well managed in very hard times. Sharon?
I think they've done exceptionally well.
Roy, may I make one quick
comment? Go ahead,
Danny. Is our office open for public to walk in?
Is there a time frame on that, Travis?
Yeah, currently, because the reason I ask is because I spent the last month with my boat in Coos Bay, and I'm very disappointed there. You can't even talk to their office staff. It's either through the mail slot or the phone, and that's it. And if we are allowing our public to come into our office, I commend you for that.
It's open, Travis. Travis will fill you in on the times right now, Daniel. Or Daniel.
Well, I don't care. I'm just saying, if we're allowing staff as public in, I commend you because they're.
But let the proper person answer your question for me, please.
9 to 4 is our office hours closed for lunch from noon to 1. So okay. 6 hours. We've shortened it an hour in the morning and an hour in the evening. But
and we ask the public to wear a mask when they come in.
The public understand that you're being asked to wear a mask when you enter the office, like all other businesses. Practically in the United States of America, okay? From 9 to 4, it's open. Closed from 12 to 1 for lunch.
And you can't get that accused back first.
Well, some ports are taking this, some entities, Daniel, businesses, taking it to the extreme.
I'm just complimenting our staff for doing that.
Yeah, I as well. Safety report. Danielle, would you like to give the safety report?
Well, does anyone have any questions about it?
No.
Joe? Ken?
No.
Richard?
You know, I can't let this go without commenting.
Right.
So once again, we have a guy trying to flush toilet paper rolls down the toilet with the intent to plug up the plumbing, I assume.
I'm not so sure what his intentions were, but 4 rolls of toilet paper later, right after somebody goes in and cleans them was the reason.
Big rolls.
These things are like the size of a spare tire.
So they were not furnished by the port? Those
no.
were not port furnished?
Yes,
rolls?
They were port furnished rolls, yeah.
Okay.
So.
And they're still fitting on our standard toilet paper rollers?
Yep.
Okay.
We bought new ones so we didn't have to.
Where did he obtain these from, Travis, if they were bought
on? The gentleman was standing at the toilet. And unrolled the toilet paper into the toilet and
flushed it.
And then other people go to use it, and there's no toilet paper.
You can't fight that animal.
Well, we did. We trespassed him for 6 months.
Good. Good job, Alex.
Right.
Okay, so Danielle, do you, Richard, get a comment?
I'm just gonna let that go.
Joe and I, we work directly out in the boatyard all the time. Boatyard, around the fort, down on the boats. We use the public restrooms every day. These guys that clean these restrooms have been stuck with needles. They have dug toilet paper out of there umpteen times. The little gasket things you put on the toilet seat, it's graffiti, it's feces. It is the grossest job we have on this port property. And I really appreciate the people who work for the port and do that job. They do it day in and day out. But it is a nasty job, and the needles are on the incline. They're on the incline heavy. We have an influx of transients right now. Wish more roads were closed to Brookings is all I can say. We have a bad influx of transients. They're at our bathrooms every single night. They have a network. They have free cell phones. They have a network that is unmatched. And a lot of drugs are coming with them to our town.
Lots. Right under the bridge, too.
Absolutely, yeah. What do we think about the city down under Bridge Street? Maybe last night. I wasn't on that side of the bridge today, but hopefully our county code enforcer is at work once again for us. That side of the bridge, that side of the river, city limits. Sharon, any comments on the safety report?
I'm glad to see that we have one of our employees that worker has back on the job.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. We welcome him back.
Absolutely. Hey, any further discussion from the board for Danielle or for the staff? For Danielle?
Did we answer Mike's question?
Mike?
Yes.
Absolutely. Come on. Did we answer your question or do you still have a question?
I'll thread along the basics of what you were talking about. My own observation, living in the port, daily walks, whatever, drives, just like the rest of you all. I've noticed the same threats of people coming in, using the showers, using the public restroom.
Camping on overnight.
Camping overnight, RVs, whatever. As long, you know, 2020 can't get any, well, it can get worse, but right now, I think the port should be looking at it in a defensive way and shutting down public facilities for port members only, commercial fishermen, people who own slips. We need to put, as you do in every slip, you have a gate code. Put a gate code on the outside of those restrooms and the showers. If you can't do the restrooms, do the showers. I'm telling you, it's not going to get any better.
And I think we're working on a program with that, Mike. We're about the only port on the West Coast that does not have the lock and key on restrooms.
I've noticed.
And we have some of the gates that do have the combination punch kiosk.
Right.
But I agree with you, Mike, and I talk with Gary and Travis all the time. I am not about for employees having to dig out toilet paper for rolls, because my brain don't work like that. I don't know why I would stuff four rolls, Mike. It's bad. It's ugly from your view where you live.
I can see things firsthand. Roy, I don't know if you guys are, if your hands are tied or whatever, but it's coming on down. Portland's going to come on down here.
Correct.
I don't want to use names at this point.
Correct.
I don't want to put anybody into a panic spin.
Correct. No, we're not.
But yet, you give someone to entertain a shower. You got people who are going to hang out here. They can use this place as a port.
Absolutely.
Or whatever they are planning or whatever is going to go on. It's a precautionary measure. It's like you said, every port up and down has a key to get into bathrooms and showers. These people, they have other options. Okay, there's state parks, there's public parks. They have other options, but you should be thinking more of a defense right now than,
I agree with you, Mike,
than offensively. Okay, that was the main thing, and then I'm thinking because of the RV park.
Mm-hmm.
You have management at the RV park down here. They do a really nice job of policing the area for RVs that are parked illegal by the kite field, over by the jetty, the dirt, and all that. Maybe we can get them to step it up. The point, because I've noticed more and more RVs coming in.
We're not going to
and parking wherever there is a parking spot.
Right. We're not going to put our staff in harm's way with that, Mike. But I don't know where's our new security company. Where are they at The boatyard, I've been talking with Travis a couple of times when it was left open. It was left open that particular last time I called for a reason, an after hours employee works detail. But we're going to have to do something. Our last person out is not locking the gate. I mean, I've been working, Joe's been working until 6, 7 o'clock, even later. And I'm the one that goes in the boatyard because we have a back door that can get in our shop potentially. With a restroom back there that could get destroyed, that's just brand new rebuilt, and our tools and our, you know, the responsibility of our boat owners in that yard. So where are we with the new security company? Where are their details during the dark time hours, Gary, Travis?
Okay, let me start from the beginning. On the restrooms, unfortunately,
I'm with you.
Some of these restrooms were upgraded using grants, and we're still tied to grants and being open to the public. So if we change and don't allow the public to use it, then we lose possibility of grant money, for future grant money. So we have to be careful of closing doors to the public. So currently, we close the restrooms at 10 p.m., and then they get reopened at 4 a.m. That's across the board.
And we know that's being done, Gary and Travis.
Yes, I get reports and I monitor those reports from our security company. And a security company comes on at 10 p.m., closes the RV gate, and then they kick people out of the RV park area and also monitor the parking lots. So,
are they checking our boatyard gates?
We have to probably remind them to make sure our boatyard gates are closed. I'm hoping that by 10 p.m. they're closed, but if not, they should be closing them for us.
Right. Between the hours of 6, 7, 7:30, they're not closed yet. And when I leave to go home, I'll make sure our shop is locked, both doors, bathroom out back, that door is closed. It's not a locking door, it's open to the back.
But I know before we've been just closing it at 5 p.m., and the people that are working in the boatyard have the combination lock
correct
number to it. So they should be able to get out. So correct, maybe we just need to close it.
Gary, yeah, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
You got a grant there for repair of the bathrooms and showers. Is that what you said?
They're refurbished under a grant.
Okay. Is it done?
It's still, I think it's 16 years ago, so it's a 20-year time limit on it, so there's like 4 years left on it.
4 years left on it?
Yeah.
At
least.
And then, Mike, on the public property, we can't hardly do, our hands are tied really, really bad because of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. I mean, if you go back and read that judgment that they gave to the public, it was horrendous, damaging.
Okay.
It's very damaging.
With all the rules running and being broken, no school,
mm-hmm,
no Christmas lights, no this and that, I don't see where no showers would not fit the bill.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. I agree with you.
And what I'm asking for is just minimum protection for the port,
mm-hmm,
for the United States and the people in harbor.
And I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
All right, thanks, guys.
Wholeheartedly. Anything else on safety from the board?
No.
Danielle, anything else from you on the safety report at this time?
Nope, I don't have anything.
Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.
Court, do we still have you there?
Yes, I'm just going to say code enforcement, it'd probably have to be after 10 o'clock to really challenge somebody that's doing the vandalism, destruction, etc. 10 o'clock in the evening, correct? If we were able, Chair Davis, to send down a code enforcement officer. I mean, I know there's not an ideal time, but I'm just wondering, that's when you're probably most likely to hopefully make some sort of impact, huh?
That is correct, Court. That is correct.
After 10 o'clock. Okay, I just feel really bad about that. Goodness, you know, it's like a sign of the times. You said it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. And so you know, there's a lot of people out there legitimately trying to help those folks, and boy, they can undo a lot of goodwill, as you well know, in a very short period of goodness.
Okay, Court, thank you for that. Martha, do you have any input on anything on our safety issues?
No, I would just say that, you know, from a legal perspective, it depends on what specific issue we're talking about. Like Gary said, with the bathrooms, we have issues with the grants that were tied with them. You know, then with other activities, it's like you said, it's a public port. It's not a private port, so we can't completely close it off, although there are some areas which we could close off. So each of these measures just, you know, requires a little bit of a different analysis or look, but I think that everything's worth looking at and considering.
Okay, Martha, maybe later down the road, we'll get on to a little more security. Wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit. So we have some tasks to take care of here this upcoming week, but maybe we'll get with Gary and Travis and maybe see what the staff has to put also. Mm-hmm. Joe?
I'm fine.
Ken?
I'm good.
Richard?
I have a question for Martha. Martha, the term public, is that all-encompassing, or would we consider people who use our facilities as the public that we're serving and not just folks that walk in off the street?
Well, I think it depends on which area you're talking about. I mean, I think, you know, yeah, you could, the slips are for the people that are paying to use those areas. Could you close off all port property entirely? I mean, no, it's open to the general public. There's retail center, there's RV park, there's public beaches. So it kind of depends on exactly which area you're talking about.
I think the areas I'm concerned about are the two restroom facilities and the shower facility associated with the commercial basin.
Well, we could look at, I think to get that answer, you might have to look at the grant. I mean, it sounds like if they're required to be open to the public, it sounds like it's referring to the general public. Often looking to the source of the grant might help with that interpretation.
Well, the reason I ask is when you put showers in the restroom associated with a commercial basin, it's obvious to me that the intent was to have the showers available for the people using the port, the fishermen, not the general public.
Right.
I don't know anywhere in a park where you have shower facilities that are intended for somebody to just walk up and go into them.
Right, that's why they have kiosks.
So that's what I'm trying to get at here is the term public, to me, looking at the bigger picture, that would imply the public that's using that commercial basin, not somebody just driving in and taking a shower. So maybe
right.
We can look at that language and talk to the grantor and see if that's what they intend or not. If that's
the
case, then I think we ought to put a lock on the darn thing.
Yes.
Yeah, we also have bathrooms without showers. Correct. So those aren't the ones that you're talking about.
No, the shower restroom is at the commercial basin is the worst.
Correct.
That we're dealing with.
Size east and west.
The kite field isn't that bad. This is showers. That's the worst.
Okay, so we're kind of getting off the agenda a little bit, but I think we've heard from the board that we have some safety and from the public. We have some safety concerns that we might want to address in the very near future.
Chair, may I?
Please, Court, please.
Hey, just real quick, the conditions of that grant, I'm sure, would have been pre-COVID. And at what point does it become a public health or a public safety or both, whichever word you want to choose? Public health hazard. So forcing your hand and trying to protect the public, I'm not an attorney, obviously, but I just wonder if that isn't a possible option there down the road. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
That's a great consideration, Court. Good thought. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Danielle. We're going to move on to Harbor Master Report, line item C. Gary?
Travis.
Travis, I'm sorry. Travis.
It was a busy month, but questions? Richard?
When the Marine Board was here, what did they tell you about abandoned vessels? Is there something, there's something cooking with that where they're going to start getting ahead of the abandoned vessel issue?
Yes. Well, they are going to start, well, they're starting to go through the ports and identify all the boats that we have that are currently abandoned, that the port owns. Then they also went through and took pictures of boats throughout the port that appeared to have a extreme lack of upkeep, not registered. And they're starting to take a list of those boats for potential, for future potential funding that maybe if they offer those people to give up their vessels, that then the Marine Board will pay to have them taken out of the water and disposed of to alleviate the future of abandoned boats. So, and right now the funding that they're chasing right now is through NOAA. So it's very early in what they're doing. Glenn Dolphin with the Oregon State Marine Board is the one that's doing it. He's he's doing a lot of jobs right now. He's doing the clean marinas throughout the port and then trying to also do the abandoned boats. So he's doing both at the same time. We should hear more in 3 months or so, but currently we have two boats that he put on his abandoned boat list that hopefully will qualify for funding to have them disposed of.
That are in the water.
That are in the water. They're also trying to help with, since we have the ability to take out the boats, that if we have future abandoned boats, that we can document them as in the water and then be able to remove them from the water and still be able to qualify for the abandoned boat, the grant money. Because currently the grant money only qualifies for boats that are abandoned in the water. So because, you know, and what we talked about, it's like, you know, we're kind of getting penalized for the fact that we have the ability to take them out. And they recognize that and they're starting to work, they're wording differently with their funding.
I have a question. This is strictly State Marine Board.
Yes.
So they had a fund before, but it had no money, basically. So where are they, and where are they getting the money to increase?
Through NOAA, is what I was told.
Okay. And when we were at the conference, I mean, it's a two-part problem. It's a federal and a state issue with these documented boats and the state registered boats. When we were at the conference, at the caucus, we discussed with the legislation to be introduced at the federal level. Has any of that ever been done?
To my knowledge, no.
Can we put, that's a very good question. Can we put in a call to our lobbyist, Peter Freeman?
Mark Freeman?
Mark Freeman?
Yeah.
Okay, Mark Freeman.
Well, he's SCAO. We need to go through
Peter Freeman is our law. Peter Freeman is our lobbyist.
Right.
For the ports on the West Coast in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. I'm getting the names mixed up.
Correct.
But I'd rather go through SCAO first. They work for SCAO.
Can we... I mean, I know your place full, Gary, but the abandoned boat in the water is just the opposite of our problem, in my mind. If we have the ability to pick them out, absolutely we do.
We can ask, but I know it's a touchy subject. It's a very touchy subject.
Yeah, very touchy subject because everything's going to COVID money. Let's find out about some marine resource money.
What we've been told with this is that the legislators have a real hard time coming up with funding, pulling money together for people's lack of ability to take care of their vessels. That's
correct.
They have a really hard time using, you know, money,
public money
for
for people.
People's personal inability to take care of the vessel.
Right, they're inadequate to be accountable for their own property.
So it's been talked to about the legislators. It's been talked to them a lot. So far, it's been unsuccessful. I know the Oregon State Marine Board continues to chase trying to talk and get funding through that, but so far, NOAA has been their best ability for funding with this. And then the Department of State Lands is also starting to pitch in money towards funding the disposal of some of these boats as well. So I guess in a roundabout way, we are starting to get a little bit more funding and attention towards this through Department of State Lands. But because it is still new and it's finally becoming more to light, it's still kind of in the process of, developing funding for the future of it. And there's a lot of boats out there. It's an extremely expensive process. So
are there any other lobbyists, Travis, or any other committees that have been formed on the disposal of derelict boats? Are any of those floating around? Do we have any contacts for committees or lobbyists in the state of Oregon for that?
Gary and I went to a abandoned boat conference in Newport. How long ago was that?
6 months ago.
Six months ago. It was a group of us all from ports, Garibaldi, Coos Bay. Coos Bay has a big problem. And the Department of State Lands, Oregon State Marine Board, and who else was there?
Coast Guard.
The Coast Guard from the East Coast was also there, and from the West Coast. So there's a lot of talk between all levels of the problem. Right now, it's trying to get somebody to develop some funding for the problem.
Travis, at the meeting, you're talking about, didn't the Coast Guard make a statement that the East Coast has no problem with abandoned boats because they have legislation that takes care of it?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Behind the curve.
We are behind the curve. That's exactly what they said. The East Coast doesn't have this problem. They have legislation. You'll get thrown in jail for abandoning your boat in a waterway. So
West Coast is way behind.
West Coast does not offer that.
Right.
Yeah, it's obvious. It's obvious with what's going on today, we're behind a lot of things. Okay. Thank you, Travis.
Any other questions?
Sharon, do you have any questions?
No.
Joe?
No.
Ken? No. Okay. Manager reports D, port manager report. Gary?
Any comments, questions?
Good report, as always. Richard?
I would just like to point out something in the report for the public that's here, that you have a traffic counter down there. And we're experiencing 1,541 cars a day on average transiting our RV park, 14,000 a month. It occurs to me, looking at those kind of numbers and with that kind of documentation, that at some point, they can already get my effigy out and hang it, but at some point, we're going to have to start talking about that. That seems to me to be a little inappropriate for our report. I realize we got beach access and all that, but I mean, there's a point at which we're going to have to start talking about how much traffic are we going to allow going through there, particularly now we're pinching that road down a little bit in places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not suggesting we stop the public using the beach or anything like that, think the magnitude of the issue is pretty significant. So I applaud you for putting that in to get some documentation, and I was pretty shocked. 1,500 cars a day going through there, that's a lot of traffic.
That's a lot of traffic. That's why if I have a business, I want on Lower Harbor Road. It's the busiest road in all of Prairie County.
Well, that's the problem. We do have a business down there, and we're asking people to come there for their leisure time, and I'm not sure I'd be real happy if I'm sitting in my 40-foot motorhome watching 1,500 cars drive by the front of my motorhome all day.
I agree with that.
Anyway.
Especially some of those who do drive through there without mufflers, no mufflers, spinning their tires, doing Brodies. I mean, it's obnoxious what you can observe on that Port Lower Road in a day. It's obnoxious.
But we have the potholes.
That's correct. So with that being said, with those kind of numbers, why are we later down the road funding for maintenance on that road? We have that much traffic on that little bitty road. There's got to be some way to get some maintenance funding for that at a later date when we run out of some.
First step is to know how many cars are going through there.
And that was a brilliant idea to put that counter there.
And once we start doing that, then we'll start seeing about some upkeep on it.
From June 30 to now, 101,414 cars.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what the road count for Fifth Street is. I bet it's not anywhere close to that.
For what place, Richard?
Fifth Street.
Oh, Fifth Street, right. Yeah, we have all our medical and churches and schools on that street, correct. Be interesting, really interesting, but I think there's some funding ammunition there for us, maybe. Any other discussion, Joe?
No.
Ken?
No.
Richard?
No.
Sharon?
I want to thank Gary for putting in here and lining everything up that we have for the construction planning and everything that you put out for us to keep track of where we are and where we're going. Thank you.
Absolutely. And for the public's knowledge, we have these charts up here that actually have the information on what the project is and whether it's funded, fully funded or not. You might want to take a look at the chart after the meeting. The staff has put together some projects that are phenomenal. The first one will start, what, the third week of this month, Gary? That was?
Yeah.
The fuel dock?
Yeah, the fuel dock is going to be happening. The
fuel dock and
demolitions
will happen about the same time, start happening. In a month.
So you're going to see some groundbreaking. By the time that project's done, we will also have more funding for other projects. But right now, we're lucky to have that on the wall. So if anybody's interested in what's going on in the port now and in the near future that is funded, there's a chart. And it's also posted in the port office.
Yep.
Okay, Gary, thank you for a great report. Can I get a motion to approve manager reports for August 2020 as discussed?
I'll make a motion to approve management reports for August 2020 as discussed.
Can I get a motion?
Second.
Danielle, roll call, please.
Sharon? I didn't hear you, Sharon. Okay. Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Okay, moving on to line item 6, action item A, South Coast Lumber Opportunities. We do have some South Coast representatives here tonight who are going to make some kind of presentation for us here at the port and our public sector. So we have a business card before us with the operations manager, Nolan Roy. Or is that Roy Nolan?
Nolan Roy.
Okay. So if you want to come up to the podium, please do.
What's this one doing today?
Can we get him a microphone?
So this is Mike Beckley. Mike is the president and CEO of South Coast Lumber and Affiliates. And we wanted to come and meet the board, and we have a couple of questions.
Mike Beckley.
So this may have been determined already in all the projects you have moving forward. Logistics is one of our top three issues that we face daily at South Coast Lumber and Affiliates. And we're here to see if there's ever would be any opportunity to use the barge slip again.
I'd sure like to see it. How possible it is, I do not know.
Well, we have not done any research other than showing up here today to see the interest of the board.
Correct.
So explain that to me.
Well, as far as what we'd like to do with it, the idea is potentially is small barges of chips going out and barges of logs coming in. Those are our opportunities that are possibly in front of us.
The same as South Coast did, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Be a little different. You're talking about Southport?
No. You're right.
Southport. Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. These would come in on barges?
They would come in on small barges that, you know, we'd have to do the research, obviously. to see what can vary in their sale and what it would take. And then it would be a, you think we could do it where you're actually loading the logs right off onto trucks and they go away. So there'd be no log storage. We could possibly need chip storage again. But these are smaller barges. They're not like the, you know, that they've done in the past, so.
Mike, one thing, this has been brought to the board before.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions that arose prior on this very same subject was the amount of trucking on the county road. The lower harbor road there. That's something you might want to put in your research.
Okay.
I know it's very lucrative in the day, very lucrative. And I think my own personal economic interest, I think it would be good to the community to support. We have other options for our old barge slip at the moment. Nothing is set in stone, Mike. If this could become a lucrative income, economic interest for both parties, the county road system, I think it'd be great. I don't think our lumber industry is going away. We're lucky to have South Coast Mill. Without that, we would be a very depressed for jobs here. So, Ken, any questions?
Yeah, would you need a storage area for logs, or would they go directly?
Well, we don't think we'd need much of a storage area for logs at all. But we would need a storage area for chips. Now you can pile them pretty hot.
Right.
You know, so we'd have to have equipment down there. We'd have to pave an area to do this.
And you would need a significant crane, I would assume.
Usually the barges come with their own crane.
Oh, okay.
So there wouldn't be a crane. You know, we'd have to have access, figure out how to get access right to the barge itself. We have not done virtually any research. This is just to, you know, kind of see what the opinion of the board might be.
Correct.
Richard?
I think it'd be great for the board.
I'd like to hear from staff. I don't.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know anything about this.
Well, like I said, there are other options for that. Like, well, number one is one to fill it in. We have more sellable ground that way, income property. So yeah, Gary and Travis, you want to talk to South Coast Industries?
Travis might be able to speak on more after I speak, but the slopes around that barge area, if that was the plan to go move forward, would have to be addressed. The slopes
Correct.
Are very, well, they're falling apart. There's one side that's shored, but that's falling apart. The other sides are just crumbling. So that whole barge area would have to be reshaped.
Absolutely.
And then we do have plans coming soon under the FEMA projects to put in a interior road through there. So the game plan is to do the dredging and do all this infrastructure work next interwater work period, which is not next October. So at least that's what we're moving forward with the board right now with the plans. Engineering drawings are going to be planning, going through the FEMA permitting, engineering, all that jazz very soon. So if we want to, you know, lay out an area for storage for chips or whatever, this idea needs to be
understood. It's a big process.
Right.
Mike, with what Gary just said, could South Coast possibly come down and do some kind of a survey and make some kind of a footprint?
The requirements would be.
Yeah, and just make a footprint, because with our infrastructure, the roads are coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a road out, in, or whatever for the fish buying plants, a possible barge slip reopening, and we for sure know, everybody would understand, that those slopes on the east end, the north side, and the south side would definitely be had shored up. How would that play into our fuel dock with barges coming in and out of there and tugs? I mean, is that going to be separate? Because we're starting to put a new fuel dock in the third week of this month. So how is that fuel dock going to play into the road of barges and tugs?
So it would be a problem. You couldn't sacrifice having our fuel dock in the way of a barge coming. It's in a bad enough spot having boats come and go from the ice house. The ice house is another problem that we had run into. Instead of beating this to, you know, kind of half to death about what it could be, I guess the first thing would be is if we wanted to entertain this, we do have a sewer treatment plant that we have a lot of people talking about, a lot of people currently working on, that we've exhausted a lot of effort towards. You know, I don't want to say no to any other future opportunities, but I just want to, you know, we're pretty invested in the direction that we're going right now. It doesn't hurt to have a second plan if it doesn't work out. I think it's always good to think about it, but for the foreseeable future, with the plan we have, with the room that's going to be left after that is going to be used up by crab gear, staging, other gear. I think that we need to definitely decide, you know, real heartedly if I don't want to waste your guys' time. That's where I'm at with it. I don't want to waste your guys' time. I think it's always great to talk about, but currently right now we have probably the next 2 years in engineering right now that we're shooting towards the sewer treatment plant in that area.
One side of it.
And yeah, using that barge slip. As far as filling it in, that has been an option, but we have to remember that the Army Corps of Engineers will require us to replace what we fill in at three times the amount that we fill in. So if we fill in that barge area, they're going to require us to open up three more barge areas worth of water somewhere else. So that's where we're at with filling it in.
So where is that area? I mean, if we're planning a sewer treatment plan, we already know that if we close that barge area, and we have to open up three times the water, where's that?
We won't be closing that up. We'll actually be utilizing it. It might be in a different way, but we won't be filling it in. We will be utilizing it as what it is. If we were to put a seawall across it and fill it in, we would have to give back three times the amount that we fill in. Our sewer treatment plant will utilize the space that's still there. So it does work out by keeping it. We're not having to give anything back by using our sewer treatment plant idea.
So Mike, as an operations manager, the fuel dock is on one side of that slip, just like it is now. It's going to be virtually the same thing there. If your staff could figure out some way of a footprint, a blueprint type footprint, if there's any engineering that can be done in there with sheet piling, I don't know how wide those barges are, I don't know how much room they need. Our turning basin probably would be no problem, but how wide are those barges? How much leeway do they need on each side as going through a lock? Are they going to be like scraping like it goes through the locks, or is there going to be, are those barges small? I mean,
and we can do all that research.
There's no such word as I can't in my vocabulary, especially when it comes to economics of this port and one of our largest industries in this county, if not the largest. So if there's any way, and Travis is right, we've had representatives from the federal government here, we've had state representatives with that person, they're very interested because we have a fish processing plant here and we might want to put more here. If there's a way to do a footprint with some kind of separation of that fuel dock, that would be my only hang up. If there was a way to separate that fuel dock, maybe the ice plant's going away. That's going to get torn down and refurbished one way or another. That's in the works. Not immediately, but it's in the talks. So if that piece of property could be dredged out to the north to make that slip wider and somehow separate that fuel dock from those barges, some kind of barrier, what it would be, I don't know. But that, there's definitely no reason It would be very minimal because we have a seawall there already with the fish buying plant there for the lease, assigned lease. So could it be dredged out? I don't know. It's an option. The crab storage that Travis mentioned, is the crab pot storage going to be around forever and a day? I don't know. We're talking about storage units, talking about all kind of cleanup when those roads get here. You know, those may be have to move off of property or to the new storage units we're talking about building.
And how much room would they need for their chips and their lock?
Well, here's my suggestion, and that would be for you guys to get together with Travis and Gary.
Absolutely.
Go down and have them lay out and show you what all this means.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of look it over and say, well, what's possible here?
Absolutely.
I mean, is there going to be enough room for a chip pile, and can we locate it in the right spot?
Instead of getting time together, where we can just bust on down here and figure it out. The opportunity is there for both the harbor and for South Coast Lumber and affiliates, and we struggle being 7 miles west of nowhere, so getting product in and product out, Ken comes down and offers up his help for getting free plywood. That's one.
How many chips can you haul on that rig, Ken?
I'm sorry?
How many chips can you haul on that rig of yours?
Yeah.
We both pack them off.
That's why we came down there, just to
absolutely. And we appreciate it.
Might be, and if it works, it's income for both.
Right. I agree with Richard 100%. Come down. Travis, Gary, you guys get together. We've had realtors come down and give their staff before for condos and, you know, timeshares and all that kind of stuff. Right now, you got the best staff in 30 years, and unbiased, you got the best board probably in the history of the sport.
Well, I think it's important. We have a business plan that we're operating off of that lays all of this out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you could see what that is in reality on the ground, and these guys can help, you know, explain all that to you, then like I say, we can see what's available, what's possible.
Okay.
And then if necessary, or if we feel that's a thing to do, we can add that into the business plan at some other period, I think, if we're going to move forward. But I think we're better off to everybody be talking what's really possible.
Correct. We've done for years, huh, Daniel? A lot of lumber came out of that whole spot right there.
Caps, lumber, there's a whole lot of product to go through that bar face.
Dredging.
So, Nolan, Mr. Beckley, can we answer? Can we help any more tonight?
That's good.
My contact information.
Absolutely.
And we can get people to help.
And I'm sure you have some other staff in your organization, maybe it could be helpful if you brought them down as well.
And there's other industry people that can help us as well. That's done this. Jason Smith, for instance, from Southport.
Correct, because we were built on commercial dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Mr. Chair,
appreciate it.
Court, please. We have Mr. Court.
Court here.
Please.
Quick. Not take up too much time here, but, you know, I think Gary can confirm, or Travis, that the only way the wastewater treatment is going to work if the effluent gets pumped out to the ocean. I wonder if there isn't a way to tie in those two projects together, because is the DEQ not the key in the whole thing? That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Court. Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. South Coast. Very much for coming down tonight.
Keep it on the straight and narrow down here.
What's that?
Keep it on the straight and narrow.
Oh, man.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you.
See you later.
Have a good one.
All right. Okay, with that being said, very good. Action item B, resolution number 544. Port of Brookings Harbor bylaws. Okay.
It's 544 now. We did 4-3 the other day, so it'll be adjusted on the final.
I'm here adjusted on your packet there.
This is just a formal resolution approving the bylaws that the board approved last meeting.
Ready for a motion?
Ready for a motion.
I make a motion to approve resolution number 544, the Port of Brookings Harbor bylaw.
Can I get a second?
I second.
Roll call, Danielle, please.
Sharon? Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Action item C, public contracting rules, selection process for architect and engineer. Gary?
All right, I'm asking the board's approval to increase the A&E amount to 100,000. Currently it's 50,000. The state ORS actually allows it to go to 100,000. This is part in conjunction with Jack Aiken's contract, because he's going to be doing a lot of FEMA work coming, and I'd like to keep him on board because he knows the port very well and FEMA, and I'd like to get approval on increasing the amount, and then right after that we're going to look at his contract.
Richard?
I make a motion to approve resolution number 4545, amending rules and procedures for public contracts.
Can I get a
second? 545, that's not
right.
Yeah, we,
it's 544.
Yeah, we're
on C.
Yeah, but we just did 544, so now we're getting ahead of 545.
Correct.
Okay.
Can I get a second on Richard's motion, please?
I second it.
Any discussion from the board? Joe?
No.
Ken?
Yes.
Please.
Wait a minute.
Oh, discussion from the board, Ken.
Oh, I'll second it.
Discussion?
He has no discussion. He's good.
Just count me out.
Ken, we already have a motion by Richard, and then we had a second by Joe, and I call for any further discussion before a roll call.
No discussion. Thank you.
None.
Roll call, Danielle, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Okay, action item D, the EMC Engineers and Scientists Contract Amendment Number 1. That is on page 84 on our...
Right. Any questions on the contract? Request?
No.
Ken, any discussion on action item D, the EMC scientist contract amendment?
No.
Richard? Sharon?
No.
Can I get a motion to approve the EMC engineers and scientist contract amendment number 1?
I'll make a motion to approve the EMC engineers scientist professional agreement amendment number 1.
Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
Danielle, roll call, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Action item E, tank tester service contract, fuel dock, page 86 on our tablet. Any discussion from the board?
We have one bid on this.
Yes, we have one person that's been willing to fit us into the time schedule that we need and work during the times and the specific times that we need them to. Yes.
Okay, so that's why just one.
That's why there's just one. Everyone else declined our offers.
Okay. Where are they based out of, Charles?
I think he's out of Salem or Albany.
Yeah.
But they've agreed to come out as when needed.
Yeah, it's one individual guy. The fuel industry, as far as professional services, is extremely tight. There's not a lot of people that do it. So we're actually very fortunate to get him to come down under the conditions and work when we want to.
Okay.
How many trips do you think he's going to have to make down here?
I'm hoping not more than two. Hopefully it's a tear down and put it back together.
Now, is he actually going to do the work on the lines or just watch it be done?
He's going to take it all apart. He's going to clear the lines. He'll take it all apart. He'll disconnect it to where the gangway and the sump can be demoed. And then he's also giving us all new lines underneath the gangway. So while the gangway's out, we'll replace the lines underneath it. And then both the connections to the sump and to the dock. So he'll do those as well, but that'll be when he comes back to hook it up. Hopefully it's two times, two trips.
We're also going to try to modify the connection to the dock so it's not in the water. Because we do have issues with the lines in the water currently. So we're going to try to get it so they're above the water, and hopefully that works.
And maybe some leeway in case we have a Leaning Tower of Pisa again, or is there going to be any?
There will be no leeway. There won't be any reason for it.
Okay.
There won't be any reason for it.
Okay. Maybe we'll have our 9 pieces of I-beam this time.
It'll all be there.
It will be.
Correct.
It'll all be there.
For those who don't know, that was supposed to have 9 pieces of 1-inch by 12-inch I-beam.
Four. One in each corner.
Okay, I thought
it's supposed to be on stilts.
But it's not there, so it failed. What do we have? This is off the agenda, but we talked one time about having two signatures on signing off on a completed project. Two engineers, an engineer, a commissioner, a manager. Did that go anywhere? Are we still going to just trust one signature? Are we going to upgrade and maybe provide a little bit of insurance with two certified signatures on completed projects?
So this project here, we got building permits through the county, and we have to do building inspections. So the inspector will be signing off, but we also have Jack sign off on this work as well. So... I don't remember having two signatures on the stuff. I just remember we're talking about.
Well, we never have had.
Yeah, that's I remember just having our engineer sign off on the work.
Right, and we've had engineers sign off up before, and we had no elevator shaft, we had no I-beams, we had 18 feet of concrete in our green building. Yeah, we've had some engineers sign off on some projects, but how legitimate were they? That's my point.
We're going to have to trust the fact that we're picking better engineers.
And we have a better staff.
That we're going through the ropes to give the port the best people working on our projects. That we trust Jack. When an engineer stamps it, we're going to have to trust him. And I think we've done our due diligence to make sure we have one that we can trust.
Okay. Great.
Plus, you guys stay on top of it as well.
So can we get we want to do a motion to approve the tank tester service contract?
I'll make a motion to approve tank tester fuel line service agreement.
Can I get a second?
Second.
I second. Danielle, can we get a roll call, please?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy.
Yes. Okay, we're going to our amended action item F, art at the port. Kim, would you like to discuss that?
Yes. This year's event, in spite of the issues with the pandemic, it was very successful. To my knowledge, there has been zero complaints. People are already talking about that it's down, what happened to it. I cannot vote on this because there's a issue with my wife being heavily involved as one of the organizers. So if there's any questions that I can answer, I'll be more than happy to answer those.
I'll just point out that my wife and I helped count the ballots, and there were over 600 ballots. On that, so this was not unnoticed.
That's
certainly
awesome.
By a lot of people, and personally, I thought it was well done.
Very well done.
Very attractive. good for the port. A lot of people commented on it. We got comments written on the ballot. This is great.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very successful event.
Well, 600 ballots turned in. That's awesome. Do we have any questions from the public on the art on the boardwalk?
I thought it was great.
Absolutely. Thank you. There was a contest, you know, best adult, best youth, best teen, something of those categories. And Richard is reporting right now that there were 600 ballots turned in. So I think that's a very good turnout for a first art at the port on the boardwalk event. 600 votes of the lot.
One more thing.
Yes, sir.
The all the award-winning art will be hung at the Manly Arts Center from October 6th to October 31st, and it will be featured at the Brookings second Saturday Art Walk on October 10th from 3 to 6 p.m. So if anybody wanted to go see those paintings, they will be hanging at the Manly Arts Center.
Okay, so we don't have this on our.
We've got it as an action item.
Okay, right. We've got it as an action. What are we action item?
Motion to approve Art at the Port 2021 for next year.
Absolutely. Can I get a motion for that?
I'll make that motion. And the reason it's important to do this now is to give the organizers and the artists notice that it's going to happen, so they can start all. This wasn't planned in a day.
Correct.
So they need the time to kind of get rolling. So.
Okay. Can I get a second on Richard's motion?
I second it.
Danielle, can we get a roll call, please, on action item Art at the Port?
Sharon.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Roy.
Yes. I would really like to thank Ken and all his people who helped him. It was a volunteer thing. It didn't cost the port a dime. And,
very well done.
Yes, very, very well done. You know, these people that are from the Manly Arts Center, they're not professional artists. They're elderlies, there's young adults, there's teenagers, all kind of upcoming artists. So they're not professional artists. They're amateur artists from the Manly Arts Center. So that was quite a deal to get organized and placed in place for this court. It was a great thing. All right. Going on to information items. A, Pacific Ocean Harvester's lease request. Gary?
Yeah, we got this request in from Pacific Ocean Harvesters, and just giving you a heads up that we'll be coming to the board with the lease probably in the next regular meeting. If you have any comments or questions.
Well, it's my understanding, based on his letter, that he's preparing to fence that.
That's what he's
cleaned it, preparing to fence it. He wants to store his boat and something else on there. So much better now without that old building in there that I don't, you know, this looks to me like a pretty feasible thing to do, especially if he's going to fence it and clean it up. That would be...
And that's on that north corner where that old building used to be is where he wants to fence. Yeah, absolutely.
And just so it's said that everybody knows, because he's asking for the bare land rate, it is the concrete slab that building was on. The concrete slab. The bare land rate with fencing it, I think, is fair. But just so everybody knows, it is concrete, but he's offering the bare land, and I think that it's okay to take it.
I think just
my recommendation.
That old building
is
okay. Worth
that's what I think, and the fact that he's going to take it over is
slightly better than bare land.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not salt. There is bare land between the asphalt and the concrete.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think it's the fair rate that he's offering.
Good.
And before we go any further, I believe we had a G, the Bells and Whistles, which was an action item.
Bells and Whistles was an information item.
Mm-hmm.
C.
Yeah.
Well,
C.
Evidently, I thought we put it under that.
Nope.
Okay.
I think that's what they amended, Sharon, on the C.
Oh, okay.
On information.
Roy?
Yes, sir.
Just one more comment on Russ, I think. for a fish market keeps that place immaculate.
Absolutely.
You never smell, you know, our cleaning station is what you smell down there, not Russ's fish market. And to have a fish market that is that clean, I think is very commendable. And I fully support leasing him that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any further, Joe? Ken? Sure. Okay, moving on to information item B, fueling during construction in October and November. Gary Travis? Where's Travis?
Can we get another
mic? So the date that we are going to shut down the fuel dock is going to be October 15th. 14th.
You're going to start turning it.
October 14th, it will be closed, and it will be estimated for 4 to 6 weeks. So what we are going to do, we picked this time. We think it's going to be the best time as far as commercial traffic, recreational traffic. There shouldn't be very much going on. In the event that we need fuel, there could still be boats wanting fuel. I talked to Tyree Oil 2 times a week. They will come down here. All boats will have to call the port office or myself, tell me how much fuel you need, and it'll be probably on a Monday and a Thursday when they will come down here and they will do fueling for boats. But you will have to schedule it, and you'll have to tell me an estimated amount of gallons that you'll need. That's what we're going to have to deal with for 4 to 6 weeks. The option of a fuel truck just isn't there for us anymore. And this is the best way we can be able to still get customers fuel during the time we're down.
Is there any way that the Coast Guard can put out a notice to mariners that this will be shut down?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm just thinking about transient boats that, you know, might want to drop in here and get good fuel point. Either public or commercial boats that are planning, well, I'll just go to Brookings and load up. And I'm pretty sure that the Coast Guard, if you get a hold of them, can put out a notice to mariners that, you know, just so you know, this will be shut down.
Yeah, we're going to put it on our website as well, the broadcast. And I was thinking about doing a public notice to the radio and newspaper as well. I know they do free publication. And we need to let the Coast Guard know anyway because they use our fuel dock.
Yeah, they get their fuel from us, so we are actively talking to the Coast Guard, so that'll be one thing that I'll mention, because I don't know if they exactly have a solution yet for their fueling yet either.
Right. For another contact you, Travis, would you mind putting an email out there?
Yes. I will put email, phone number, my direct number, anything. Fuel dock number, I'll have a list of numbers that people will be able to contact us. And anybody that is here that knows of anybody that wants to, just please spread the word that it's going to be closed down. The word of mouth is going to spread faster than probably somebody hearing it on the radio. So people know people that want fuel, so just let them know.
We have Jennifer.
Just one quick clarification. You're proposing this will be back together by December 1st for craft fishing?
Yes.
Okay.
That's our goal.
That's our goal.
That's our goal.
Our estimated time shutdown is 4 to 6 weeks.
Blah, blah, blah. Yes, Daniel.
I applaud you for threading the eye and the needle on this.
Yeah.
Hard to even not hear a word. That's going to be the least disruptive, and I think you picked the exact time of year when it's going to be the least disruptive to everybody.
We really lucked out because that's the only time we can start doing the work in the water. We don't have much of a choice.
Well,
so.
We won't call it coincidence. It's good planning.
It's good planning, yes.
Okay, great. So we'll all put out the word on that. Everybody will. Information item C was an amended item to the agenda tonight, the Bell and Whistle Coffee Shop. It is in our packets on the last page, the email from the current owner, who has made it aware to the board that she is selling. Misty's been a great tenant. She's done a great job. She's got a great clientele going on over there. I'm going to miss Misty a lot. I will, however, have to make a mention of, sent us in her email to the port. Yes, the garbage was the last straw for this business mom during a pandemic year. In their contracts, in their leases,
utilities and trash is the responsibility of the leasee. Sure, again, it's in their leases that they are, their utilities and their trash. So they are able to have their own trash dumpsters delivered to the port, locked, dumped regularly on a basis, however it may be. The tenants don't get free trash or free utilities. A trash bill at the port has been running in the range. Just our personal port trash bill, where is it running nowadays, Travis? It was 15 to 18, 20,000 a month.
80,000 a year, 80 to $100,000 a year we spend in garbage.
It's lower now. We're getting better.
Yeah, we're
getting better.
It's gone down a
but
lot.
It's,
we've removed garbage cans for that reason, because the more garbage cans we put out, the more household trash that comes to this port. We have pulled dishwashers out of the dumpsters, inside the yard, refrigerators, cars, tires, rims, axles, steel, I mean, you name it. Household trash is a big cost to this port.
I do want to mention one thing with the trash, that now that we're getting our wall and the pandemic traffic has subsided with the takeout food, we are putting garbage cans back out on the beach, so people have access to a garbage can. So as the trash problem has subsided, we do put some back out.
So I guess for the board's benefit, she's given us a notice that she's selling, and you know, I don't have a problem. I don't think anyone has a problem with her selling it. But is there any input for her selling this from the staff?
Yeah, actually, Travis, Kim, and I met with the new owners today, and we were very pleased with the new owners. I think they're going to be just as great as Misty was as a tenant at the port. Next week, so this is kind of leading into next week's workshop / special meeting that I was planning. Two commissioners can't make Thursday, so I'm going to try to plan around so all the commissioners can be available.
I'm talking this week.
Next week.
Oh, next week.
Yeah, next week. So I'll get with the commissioners, with everybody, to figure out the best time we can have this meeting, and also approve the new owners moving forward.
Great. I can do Wednesday next week, or Thursday next week.
Mid-afternoon?
Yeah, I'll be in Lapine. I'll just call in.
Except me and Travis would be out of town. We're going to see Mike Crow and his engineer on our RV park. Kind of excited about that.
Are you available any other day, Richard? Do you have the phone?
I'm trying to think. So next week, I will be available Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Joe, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday work for you?
I'm fine.
Ken, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday work for you for a meeting next week? Is this week?
Wait, next week?
Next week.
Next week.
Okay, I'm good on all three of those, Josh.
Okay, great. I'm all good on all three of those.
Thursday, Friday.
Thursday, Friday for Sharon.
I have
to work here. Sharon's a volunteer.
So, but Thursday's not good for you.
Well,
that's this week.
Oh, this week. Oh.
Next week, Thursday, good for everybody.
Oh, the Thursday at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Next Thursday, 2 o'clock, the 24th.
At 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Okay.
You all be sent reminders.
Before we go to Port Commissioner's report, County Commissioner Court Boyce, do you have anything that you'd like to chip in at this time as a comment or a statement?
Well, I just wonder if you're sure it wasn't this week at 2 o'clock Thursday. No, I have nothing. Thank you.
All right. Hey, Commissioner Court Boyce, thank you for joining us. You've been a regular for quite a while. We certainly do appreciate your support and your input in these meetings. Martha? Go ahead, Court. Sorry.
Oh, no, just appreciate you all, and thanks for the invite. Good work. Good meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Court Boyce. Martha, do you have anything to add to tonight's meeting to staff or the board?
Nothing additional. If they have any ideas about additional, you know, security measures or closures, we can discuss those one, you know, one by one. So but that's it.
Okay, Martha, thank you for joining us as well. You've been a regular for quite a while. Really appreciate you, Martha.
Thank you.
Commissioner's comments. Joe? Ken?
No comments.
Richard?
Well, of course I do.
Of course.
So just for informational purposes, the Pacific Fisheries Management Council is meeting this week by phone. And one of the items on the list to discuss is our northern resident killer whales. And they're going to make a determination in November of what the final action will be. So one of the issues that will affect us is the Klamath Management Zone is prominently mentioned in there as habitat for that group of whales, and there's a talk about a closure of the zone to salmon fishing, but it occurs during a period of time at which when we don't fish. So it would be like from November into the early spring. And that's because they've identified, now I don't want to go into scatology, but apparently they follow these things around and collect poop and then run DNA samples on those. And they've determined that Klamath and Sacramento fish are what they're feeding on down here. So that's why we're involved in this. The majority of the big hit's going to come off the coast of Washington. They're going to get whacked.
Richard, what's the numbers in the local pod?
This is three pods, and well, actually, there are three pods of the southern resident killer whales. Two of them are moving up and down the coast in the winter. And I think the total population, as I remember it, is like 80 or 81.
81 killer whales.
Right. And they've had two calves this year, which is new. The female that had the dead calf on her nose for 3 weeks, she has a new calf this year that's apparently doing much better. So, but anyway, I just mentioned that because it's coming, and folks ought to be aware of that. There's one other issue that now is on the agenda also that will affect us, and that is the Southern Oregon, Northern California coastal coho, sunk cohos. The Hoopa Valley tribe sued the government and got a settlement agreement in place to look at increasing coho returns in the Klamath River. And that's working its way through a meeting process. We have a group forum to talk about what can happen. But the offshoot of that is that well may affect our ability to be able to harvest coho here, south of Humboldt.
So there's 81 killer whales. And there's going to be a closure of commercial and sport fishing salmon.
Not a closure, but, you know, they have five different scenarios laid out.
Okay. We don't know these scenarios.
One of which includes
yet.
The no action alternative. And the group I'm on that council, which is the salmon group, tomorrow I'll be reading into the record of the meeting that we're recommending the no action alternative. And the reason we're saying that is because we really don't know how much interaction there is between these various stocks of fish that they're concerned about and when it occurs. So we would prefer to take a no action alternative until they've had time to get better information about, rather than just closing the zone for 3 months. If you need to close it for a period of time, like 2 weeks, when those whales are going by, that makes a lot more sense to me than big blanket closures or reductions of quotas.
The information will be much more current.
Yes. So I don't know where that's going to go yet. Okay. Maybe get a feel for it.
So Richard, have you guys been looking at the fish hatcheries that have been affected by fire, how it's going to affect our area?
There are six fish hatcheries that are in the fire zone. I know two of them have burned down. These are state hatcheries.
Right.
One is the Rock Creek hatchery on the Umpqua, and the other one's the Klamath hatchery, neither one of which have much to do with us.
Okay.
But that will be an issue going forward because we're going to have to, the state of Oregon is going to have to figure out if we're going to rebuild those hatcheries, how we're going to rebuild the hatcheries, and so on. So.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard, for your time and your energy. All you do. Richard attends a lot of meetings. a lot of meetings.
And I get paid really good for it, too.
Right. By the way, this is a volunteer board with no perks. We work for tips. Sharon.
I think the board's moving forward, great. And I appreciate absolutely everything that you guys are doing, and the way that you're managing the office during this COVID time is working really well. Danielle has gone out and taking care of the mask situation. She has them over in the office. If anybody shows up, she's got it right there. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I would really encourage the public to keep track of this project's poster.
I'm going to take a picture.
There you go.
They are busy.
Yeah. These guys have got a lot of money. And these charts have came after the pandemic started. So all this kept going through the pandemic. We've had some other real hurdles prior to the pandemic a couple years ago. But this staff and this board, this new board, keeps going. We show up for our meetings. Staff shows up for work, and they worked under some difficult situations. The pandemic has taken up an astronomical amount of our staff time. So the public has paid dearly for your taxes. What these people do in a day's time, it's been caused by this pandemic. So thanks to all the staff. Thanks to the public for attending the meeting tonight. Great turnout. Dennis, I didn't fall off the earth. I'm still with you. So talking to you, Dennis. Thanks for coming, Dennis. Thanks for everybody for coming.
Can I do something?
Dennis, please.
Eric, it's been economy since we were talking about things earlier. They were talking about the needles and everything there with the bathrooms and the showers and all.
Uh-huh.
And I'm saying, you guys better get that taken care of. Because you don't want the homeless telling you what to do. You want to tell the homeless what to do.
Good point, then.
California is a damn good place to send them. Have Travis work something out with the sheriff. You go down there every day, clean them out. If you want to see, well, you know, under the bridge on the Brooklyn side, tons of homeless.
Uh-huh.
You know, it takes one day, man, we didn't want to put the guys in harm's way. By the same token, that's part of their job, to be in harm's way so that the people that are in the RVs and everything aren't in harm's way. Because all it would take is one big lawsuit to bring this whole thing down. All the work these great guys have done is going to go right down the tubes.
That's why we're being really careful, Dennis.
You bet.
Very careful.
Yeah, you get some of these scumbag lawyers. No offense, Martha. You get some of these. They don't care. You go down the drain. They don't give a damn. Send their product.
All right, Dennis. Point taken.
Thank you.
All right. With that all being said, our next regular meeting date is Tuesday, October 20th, 2020, at 6 p.m. With that being said, this meeting is adjourned at 7:33, Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. Thanks, everybody, for coming.